generated out of the content on the paper, not the means by which it was printed. I was in the wrong business. I wanted to start producing the content. The father of a college friend owned a local coach company that took old ladies on regular holidays. I heard he was inviting agencies to pitch for an advertising campaign that he had a £15,000 budget for. I persuaded him to let me pitch for the contract, and without knowing anything about pitching or advertising, I interviewed him so that I could understand his ambitions for the company and how he made his money. This allowed me to define his business objectives. I then did the same with the old ladies that went on his trips and tried to understand their circumstances, their likes and dislikes. By matching up the two, I was able to devise my own strategy. I pretty well tore up the original brief and asked a freelance designer to help me out with some visuals. We won the business with an increased price tag of £18,000. Over the next few years, I applied the same formula, ignoring the standard practices of the marketing industry and learning from every experience. I hired people based on their attitude, skill, and passion rather than their experience. And in just 10 years, TPS Communications had a team of 250 people with an average age of 26 and had become the UK's largest independent branding agency. With no formal training, I achieved success by keeping my feet firmly on the ground and by simply applying common sense to everything we did. We also worked incredibly hard, and as a consequence, we worked at board level with some of the brightest people in the UK at companies like Marks & Spencer and Barclays, and helped them develop some of the world's most powerful brands. I also discovered something remarkable, that when I was passionate about a project, the shyness I usually experienced disappeared. Passion was the key to overcoming obstacles and to creating success. The company continued to grow, both nationally and internationally, and was eventually sold in 2000. For the first time in my life, I had what the money men call liquidity, but those I went to for financial advice talked about money as if it had a virtue in its own right, which I found profoundly depressing. The very success I had been conditioned to believe was the point of all that work was depressingly empty. I realized the value of money to me was as a unit of exchange that could be used to make things happen. I calculated that, provided I controlled my greed, I had enough money to keep the fridge full for the rest of my life, which is a wonderful position to be in. I began to admire the people who had reached this conclusion without first having to win in a materialistic way. I also began to reflect on how I had become successful, and I realized that when my passion and drive to make things happen had overcome my shyness, I'd been able to persuade people of my opinion. This passion had been a direct consequence of seeking the truth in something and coming to a deep understanding of the subject matter in hand. It struck me that this deep understanding, this dedication, seemed to prompt what outsiders might have perceived as coincidences, i.e. where the world appeared to conspire to support judgments and activities I was involved with. But I knew that these coincidences were the consequence of my dedication. I therefore decided to follow the concept of coincidence and see where it took me. I started a small investment company, which I called Coincidence, that backs people and adventures that can bring about positive change. As part of this journey, I had the opportunity to share an idea with Richard Branson, who in turn invited me to go to South Africa with his charity, Virgin Unite, and some other entrepreneurs. During the trip, the entrepreneurs naturally started to plot and scheme ways to help change some of the clear injustices of the area. In fact, the energy that emerged was immense. I had a strong sense that it sparked a light in many of us to try to achieve things that could really make a difference. By coincidence, I then met Duncan Bannatyne at a conference. We talked about my experiences in South Africa, and he recounted his similar experiences in Romania and Malawi, where he'd built orphanages and funded a schooling program. The idea came to me of setting up a club that brought successful entrepreneurs together to use their skills, networks, kudos, and cash to bring about change in impoverished areas. That club is called Entrepreneurs Unite, and following the principles of coincidence, I decided to drive it. People say to me now that I must have been very smart to get where I am. But the truth is that life isn't like that. You look at your universe of opportunities, you have an idea, you put your head down and run off at top speed in one direction, Then in 6 months' time you look up and see what's changed. Your universe of opportunities will be different. So you assess the best route and change direction if necessary. The path we all take is a bit of a zigzag. Then someone looks at where you are now, draws a straight line back to where you started, and thinks you must be a genius. But all any of us do is assess the opportunities around us and respond to them. That's what I tell people who want to be in business. You can't know everything at the start. I bet Bill Gates wasn't thinking about the Windows operating system when he was playing around with DOS in his garage. What's the best advice you've ever had? This is something I've figured out for myself. If you create demand, then capital will follow. If you have a new business that's untried and you seek investment, you'll have to give away a lot of equity. But if you can demonstrate demand, then you reduce the risk and investors will take a lower percentage. What do you wish you'd known from the start? Nothing, really. That's not to say that I didn't make mistakes, but falling over occasionally is all part of being in business. Success is a very poor teacher, and I believe mistakes are valuable. However, the ability to listen more when I was younger might have helped. I was so dogmatic and stubborn that no one could sway me, and then a year later I'd think that maybe I shouldn't have done something that someone had advised me against. What's the one thing you'd say to someone starting their first business? Don't take any shortcuts. Do everything to the best of your ability. Create demand and worry about capital later. It's really important to get the balance right between having a good idea and then going for it. Don't be swayed. You have to follow something with passion and determination for at least 6 months before you can assess how well it's going.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.